As you all know, I spent a considerable length of time hanging out with students in a previous incarnation of what I did when I worked at a college and seminary. And if there's a hallmark of students, it's that they're always hungry. And that's perfectly fine. They're at that age where they can eat whatever they want and they look the same size the next day, unlike, say, me these days, but that's just the way it is. And so we'd bring them over, particularly on times when it was difficult for them to be with their families. Thanksgiving, Christmas, every once in a while you'd have people who came from countries other than Canada or the U.S. and they couldn't get home, and so we'd have them over for Christmas if we could, and for Easter. And at Easter, every year, we would serve Thanksgiving dinner. Now, there's nothing wrong with ham. I quite like ham. It's a lovely thing. The fact that a pig tried to kill me when I worked in a packing plant, it was already dead, it was my own fault. I'll tell you the story someday if you really want to hear it. But turkey and all the things that go with it say thanksgiving to those of us in Western culture for the most part. And what I used to tell students and what I say to you now is that as a person who has some belief in Jesus, if you're not thankful on Easter Sunday, when else are you going to be thankful? Easter Sunday is the best day of the year. It's better than my birthday, better than Christmas. After the first few years, well, the first few years is sort of a dead heat between my anniversary and Easter Sunday, but now, even now, Easter Sunday is better than my anniversary. And it's the best day, but why? Because we have so many things to be thankful for on Easter Sunday. There's lots of different directions we can go when we talk about Easter Sunday. It's an extraordinary day in the church year. It's one of those few holidays that hasn't really been overtaken by just the crass commercialism. It's a day of just joy and fun, even for people who don't really know what it's about. And as long as we can free ourselves from the need to look down our nose at people who hunt for Easter eggs and things on Easter Sunday, we should be fine. Because I would like to point out to you that no one has considered an egg a fertility symbol for at least 1,000 years. And the people who hunt for eggs aren't trying to do anything except enjoy themselves. So just get over yourself and get in there and find an egg. It'll be great. What are we thankful for today? For me, I am thankful for people. I'm thankful for the people I see here, the people that I know are joining us online. I'm thankful for my family who are not here, but I know where they all are. I'm thankful for all of those things. And on this Sunday, I'm thankful in particular for two people, well, even three, that we read about. And that's in our gospel reading. Thank you, Kelly, for an excellent reading, much better than I could have done. I don't know, are you in radio? If not, you should be. It was a strange day for people. Because we have early on the first day of the week, Sunday, it's still dark, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb in the same way that we go to cemeteries where people are just to see, to be there, present in a way that we can't be in other places. And when she gets there, the stone's been removed from the entrance, which is like going to visit the grave of a loved one, and there's a hole rather than a mound of dirt. Surprising, to say the very least. Disturbing isn't too far to go either. So she goes and finds the disciple whom Jesus loved, which is John's way of referring to himself, and Peter, and says, "The stone's gone." So the two of them take off running to see what's going on. Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. John outruns Peter, gets to the tomb first, bends over and looks and sees that there's nothing there. Simon Peter catches up and, being Simon Peter, just goes right in to see what's going on. Subsequent to that, John goes in also. The thing that's interesting, and that we'll come back to in a moment, is in the New International Version it says, and it's about the same everywhere, that John goes in, he saw and believed. Let's not forget that what John saw was nothing. John saw some cloth and air. But John saw and believed. They don't know what to do with this. They go home. Mary is outside the tomb crying, because of course she is. If you go to visit a loved one in the cemetery and there's a hole where their body should be, you're going to be upset. Mary's crying. She looks in, and now it's not empty anymore. There are two angels there, and they say, "Well, why are you crying?" And they leave out, John leaves out the part where she says, "What, are you stupid? I'm crying because there's supposed to be someone I love in here, their body, and it's not. Where did did you take them away? Where is his body? Tell me where it is, and I will go and find it, as she says to the gardener later. She turns around, and Jesus is standing there, and she doesn't recognize him, because of course she doesn't. Nobody recognizes somebody that they think is dead when they're not. This is a passage of Scripture that's often used to beat up Peter, sometimes beat up John, and often beat up Mary. No, this is perfectly human behavior in every possible way, and she assumes it's a gardener or who knows what, and says, "Where is this body?" When Jesus shifts from woman to Mary, that's when she sees who it actually is. There's a lot going on in that little two-syllable word, Mary. It's a reminder that we love to hear our names because it means we're known, that someone who knows our name knows us. And when we hear our name and we turn around, we look for who we recognize if it's in a crowd, because those are the people who know who we are. And at this point, Mary sees it's Jesus. Turns toward him, calls out, "Teacher." Jesus says, don't hold on to me at this point. You just have to wait. Mary went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." Mary saw and believed. Up until that point, she had thought he was dead, which is reasonable because she had seen him when he was dead. Dead is dead. John saw nothing and believed. Mary saw Jesus and believed. What's going on here? One of the things we don't want to lose sight of is that both John and Mary had heard Jesus saying things that in one way shouldn't have made this a surprise. Jesus never said, "At some point I'm going to die, so goodbye. I'll say that now because when I die I'm going to be gone." No, Jesus said in symbols and in plain language, "I will be taken, I will be killed, and in 3 days I will be raised again. Or the temple will be raised again." That was just a metaphor, a symbol that he used. But it was there to be seen. So John knew and Mary knew. But then they believed. I am thankful for the witness of John and Mary, because there are all kinds of things that I have known, but something happened that made me believe. For those of us, and no shade at the third row back there, when you're 13 or 14, you think you know what it means to be in love. And you are in love. Let's not lose sight of the fact that when I was 13 and 14, I had a crush on somebody. That was the extent, I was loving somebody to the extent that I had. But when I met Hadley, when we realize all those things we are connected and enough that we thought we should be together for the rest of our lives or we'll just be miserable and that's no good, that love was different than when I was 13. It wasn't that it was that one was right and one was wrong. No, it's just that at one point you know all you know and then later on you know more. And then you go through this ceremony where, among other things, depending on how traditional you are, you say, "I will be with you for better or worse." And you know that. But when you come home from the hospital and you can do nothing for yourself for a day or two, and this person who, honestly, you've only known for a few years, takes care of you at least as well as your parents would have, maybe even better, you knew it was for better or worse before, but now you believed them, that when they said it was for better or worse, they meant it. You didn't think they were lying before, but there's something about human beings. We need to know in a different way than just our heads. We talk about head knowledge and heart knowledge. It's because they're two different things. And it's not that one is good and one is bad. It's that one is just in one place. The intellectual knowledge that somebody will be with you for better or worse is not as comforting as the memory of when Hadley was with me for worse. They've taken care of me a couple of times when I haven't been able to because of getting various bodily things corrected. That's what the worst was. Neither one of us knew what we were signing up for that. I did not sign up to have my partner in the hospital on bed rest for 2.5 months before our twins were born. But at the end of that, Hadley knew I was there for better or for worse because I was there. I didn't just say I'd be there, I was there. And here we have John and Mary moving past the intellectual knowledge that Jesus was going to die and then be resurrected. Whatever that even meant, they might not have known at that point. But now they knew. And that's something that makes me thankful. It makes me thankful not just for the knowledge that Jesus rose and all that goes into that, but that there were people who were there who were just like me, who were just like you, who didn't understand stuff, and then they did. They knew things, and then they believed things. It went from their head to their heart when they were faced with the reality of it, and that's what allowed John to continue to move for the rest of his life. To the best of our knowledge, the only disciple that died of natural causes, lived a good long life, and continued to learn more things and know more things and believe more things about Jesus, about God. John, as far as we know, many people believe, me among them, that John wrote the book of Revelation. The Revelation of St. John is the same John that ran up, stopped, and then went in later. By the time he wrote that, he knew and believed a lot more things than he knew and believed at this point, which gives me hope, and I'm thankful for that too. If John, somebody who was with Jesus for an extended period of time, had a bit of a struggle understanding the resurrection until it was perfectly obvious before him, and then from there went on to know more and more and more, it means I can too, and it means you can too. And so this Easter, I'm thankful not just for the resurrected and glorified Jesus, but I'm also thankful for these people. And later today, when however many of my family members can join us, you never know in a pandemic what's going to happen, but we have a turkey enough for everybody to show up, and a lot more than that if they can't. We are going to have Thanksgiving dinner. We're going to have turkey and potatoes and gravy and corn and dessert and all of those things because we are thankful for Easter Sunday. I'm every bit as thankful for God today as any day, but even more thankful this day for these people, just like you and me. Dress up John and Mary in 21st century clothes, we'd never know they were different, because they're not. And if they can make that transition, if they can move from head to heart, if they can go from knowledge to belief, so can we. If a disciple needed to make that switch, who are we to say there isn't more to know about Jesus? More to that relationship, more to understanding what it means to be loved to the utmost. Gives me great hope and makes me thankful that we have the story of John and Mary and all the others who are people just like us, encountering something inexplicable and becoming more and more who they were created to be. Amen.